Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Our guest this evening is Nancy Leader, and we're going to talk about Planet X, and I think I've also got Star DiGiacomo on the line as well. Let me welcome Nancy back to the show here just one second while I bring her on the air. Sometimes it takes just a minute for Blog Talk to make a connection when a person's been on hold a little while. Anyway, I'll wait for Blog Talk to wake up here. There we go. Nancy, are you there?
I am. I could always call back if that would help. Great to be back. We were on last year in 2015, about a year ago or more, and then in the fall of 2014 also. So we've got a lot of catching up to do.
Star, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Mark.
Hey. Oh, I'm so glad you made it. Yeah.
I had a hard time with Skype.
Yeah, you know, it's always the technical little details that always screw things up, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have, I want to go back a little bit in time, if it's okay with you guys.
Sure.
Because I know, Nancy, you became aware of your contactee status in about 1993. And at that time, you had full life with a family, a full-time job. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was a sleeper. And basically, the idea was that I should not be consciously aware of my contactee status because I would be in going to support groups, talking to people about it. And then, you know, when it came out that I was trying to communicate the Zeta message, people would say, well, you know, she's always been crazy. You know, she's always, but instead, I just was very, you know, normal. I became a second level manager in the systems field, made really good money, you know, raised my kids, sent them to university, you know, they got higher degrees, blah, blah, blah. You know, and look at her, you know, she's just steady and stable and accomplished, and, you know, and now she's coming out with all this stuff. Well, they can't say she's always been crazy. So that was the reason. I was 55 years of age. My son kind of said, I think we're a contactee family. I said, no. And it didn't take long, and here it came, all my memories on recall. If you do self-hypnosis, you know, there it was as a little girl running around in the woods and meeting them as they popped out from behind trees and checking, you know, getting, you can feel the pain on recall of taking a little piece of flesh out from behind my elbow or making my forehead hurt. I didn't know what it was at the time, but later under a diathermy machine, I got a third degree burn in the middle of my forehead right where the third eye is. And they had put in a special implant, you know, to improve our communications connection, and you feel the pain, you know, when it's different. If you have a dream, or you're just daydreaming, you don't hear sounds, you don't feel things. It's just kind of like visuals and an awareness, you know, of the setting. So that's how I knew it was a real memory. And then I went out and got on to Michael Lindemann's ISCNI chat room. Somebody said, well, you know, contactees should bring back the answers to our questions. I said, well, I'm getting mine. And so I'll bring you yours. What's your question? And that's how Zeta Talk began. It was instantly popular, instantly contentious. People either loved it or hated it, and by hated it, I mean feared it. You know, oh no, you're talking to demons, you know, that type of thing. And around the world, my popularity around the world, the popularity of Zeta Talk, it's not something I seek, not something I go and beg, you know, oh, have me on and that kind of thing. Every country, and I don't think I've heard from the Eskimos, but other than that, you know, I've heard from every continent, and I hear that I show up in magazines, and Zeta Talk says this and that, and I'm referenced. So it's internationally famous. I've been on TV in many countries, Moscow, Sri Lanka, New Zealand, South Korea, in the U.S., you know, a few times, and going to be on Discovery Channel, too, this fall. They came here and filmed. So and it's just an international phenomenon. I get email from everywhere. I accept that. I accept the responsibility of helping everyone on the face of the planet prepare and understand what's coming and the meaning of it, you know, the transformational spiritual meaning of it. What's important in life is not your physical body, your stupid lifetime, you know. Oh, I broke another nail, you know, or whatever. It's important how you live your life. You know, how and how your soul grows, the credits your soul gets, basically. You know, that's what's important. That's what passes forward, because reincarnation does exist. And boy, do we have a lot of lifetimes. It's not just one. And that's it in a nutshell.
Tell us what a hybrid child is and how you met your hybrid child.
Well, the Zetas have been commissioned, you might say, by the Council of Worlds that administers this part of the universe to create mankind's next leap forward, more intelligent, longer life, you know, some of our disabilities gone, you know, we won't fart, we won't get fat, and this is really just, you know, an upgrade like we had back in the Neanderthal and modern man. And I say, where's the missing link? All of a sudden, we didn't have apes, we had cavemen. And then all of a sudden, boo, you know. Well, of course we were genetically engineered. And that's done to create a being, a physical being that is intellectually capable of a conscious contact and say, I am me and I am different than separate from the other, you know, because that will spark a soul. And once a soul is sparked, it doesn't go away. It just keeps reincarnating and getting bigger and more massive. So they hurry this along by running around and genetically engineering what appears to be the intelligent species for Earth. It hasn't always been apes. We had something like, I guess, like an intelligent raptor in the past that left maps in Russia, in the Urals, in caves. And that was an intelligent species before us, before apes. So, and there's other intelligent species living on Earth, but they don't tell us too much about it because they don't want them to become prey for adolescent mentality. You know, oh, let's go shoot a such, you know, tee-hee, better than shooting squirrels. Well, so the life forms come in all shapes and sizes, you know. So I volunteered, and the hybrid program is only for volunteers. And when I was a virgin until 19, but the whole time from 10 to 19, I was, you know, giving my eggs and allowing a tiny little critter, you know, to grow in my womb and then be harvested, you know, 2-3 weeks later. And I actually have recall of all of that. And when I was 19, because I wanted to see one of my children, and this one wanted to meet me, I met him, and he was very shy, you know, and I sat down and closed my eyes and pulled my hair and let him look at my teeth, and so he wouldn't be frightened of me, came up, touched, you know, my hair, et cetera. And then I met him later when he was a grown man, and I said, well, how many children do you have now? And he said, 141 and counting. So
wow.
This is because the hybrid program is aggressive. It basically is a new body for people who have spiritual maturity to be able to stick around the earth and go into the next dimension, you know, when this transformation is complete. And we're in a transformation process. It's going to take up to 100 years, slowly transitioning out of our current body to the new hybrids. That's for the good-hearted. And for the ones that are kind of undecided, they're going to get hauled, their souls are going to get hauled off to a planet and become octopus intelligent, and it's not as bad as it sounds. It's a very sensuous, fun experience. I was allowed to incarnate into an octopus to find out what it's like, and ooh, it's better than being a human, really. So, and then those that are badass, they get hauled off to prison planets to live with their own kind. So just imagine Hitler, you know, Dick Cheney, Genghis Khan, and Hillary Clinton all on a planet, you know, everyone's trying to boss each other, right? And barking orders and wants to be the boss, and it's apparently a vicious pecking order settling process. And they get what they deserve. They get to live with their own kind.
You wrote a script for a movie called The Passage. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and I wrote a second one called Finnegan Fine also. The Passage was really, I think this was way back around 15 or more years ago. And it was just trying to relay what if no knowledge, if the establishment, you know, the governments and the like, didn't inform people at all, and we had a sudden passage of Nibiru, what would people be experiencing? You know, they would experience big earthquakes everywhere, and the roads ripped up, and this and that, and red dust, and at the same time encountering aliens, you know, like, because we will have more and more conscious contact. You know, the good-hearted will be guided to survival camps and even invited in to live in high-tech communities with aliens. And I build all that in, you know, led by children. A little boy is more comfortable with all of this than the adults and the like. And the military, some aspects of that going rogue, and some other military people being very good-hearted and having integrity, and they actually kind of fight each other, and for that reason, and all of the things that you can expect, and in story form, you know. So eating possum, eating weeds, you know, that kind of thing, and joking around about it, and then Finnegan Fine is a setting in the Southeast, where he is a drunk that is living on a houseboat, and this is after the pole shift has happened, and we have the gradual flooding of the coastlines to 675 feet sea level, because the oceans, the deep ocean bottoms, swell from heat, from the friction of crustal movement. And he goes up and down the coast, you know, and meets all these communities, and it gets to relay what people can expect in the aftertime. What kind of communities, what kind of people, how do they fare? You know, how do they interact with each other? One is called Kudzu Canyons, and it's where, because kudzu is extremely edible, it's a pea plant. You can eat the whole thing, you can eat the tubers, you know, and you can feed the greens to dairy cattle, and there is your milk. You know, and it's, and you can eat it, and it nitrogenates the soil. You know, so it was a lot of fun, because they lived in stacked junk cars that were waiting to be recycled, and kudzu had completely covered it, so they just lived in the cars that were at the top of the pile and climbed down the vines. You know, so I just had a ton of fun writing it, and it goes through a lot of what people can expect in story form. It's a short story. It never did become a film. People tried to get Hollywood interested, but, you know, the suppression of this message is intense. You know, they want to tell you that aliens are scary, you know, like all these horrible films where they're going to land and eat you and suck your brains out and enslave you. And of course, that's not true. I mean, is that happening now? No. You know, they can come down and chit-chat with us, you know, but that's it. You know, really, and they don't interfere with our life, because this is a schoolhouse. Our life here is kind of like our final exam, you know, before we go either to the prison planet or to become an octopus or become a hybrid. You know, it's our final exam, and they're not to interfere. so they don't interfere. There are rules. The Council of Worlds is the ultimate police force. It's like the Supreme Court and a police force that you cannot say no to. You cannot fool, you know, and get away with mischief. So there it is. Those are my scripts, but it's just downloaded. It's right there, and it's an enjoyable read. What my favorite in Finnegan Fine is about an orphan mistress who picked up orphans, and this old woman who is so weary she can hardly pick up her feet. You know, that's me. You know, I was the character, and grows corn and amaranth, which if you mix together forms a lysine-rich diet that is equivalent to red meat, a protein, you know, that's all that you need. And she has chickens and eggs, and she works with all these little orphans that are growing up, and it's just charming. I had so much fun writing it.
Star, can you tell me about the Peru little blue alien?
Oh, he was adorable. He's adorable. This was in a gas station, and all you see is a little dot at first, and it starts to get bigger, and it wobbles across the road, and you see the people at the gas station. I guess it's a convenience store there. You know, I don't think people just hang out at the gas station, but they started getting curious, like, what the heck is this? So they get closer, and it morphs into this little blue stick figure kind of thing, and it sways, and it almost gets hit by a car, you know, because it went towards the road, and then you see it pop up on the other side of the road, and then there's more people. It was fascinating because, you know, this is all being filmed from the gas station webcam or, you know, whatever it is. So that is our newest little ET that, you know, that's out there. And that was a message for all of those people. And I think that they just thought that this little critter was charming and adorable. And I didn't sense any fear because, you know, you're watching the footage. There was no fear. They were walking closer and closer, like trying to get as close as they can to this little critter. So that's all I know about this. You know, I watched the footage myself, and I was like, oh!
Can you tell us what prong one and prong two are?
Oh, that's Nancy. That's Nancy.
Okay.
Prong one started in January, so let her take it because I cannot follow that.
I just wanted to mention on the little blue alien. There's a migration. We've had some conscious contact, you know, with peeking in the window out west, and some father got it as he was worried about a peeping Tom for his daughter. We've had the night walkers in California, really long legs, caught on video. We've had a little guy with, you know, very thin, very frail looking. They showed it up in the UK and Missouri and Mexico and then Argentina. It looked like the same little guy. You know, we've had alien contact on film recently, you know, and before that, it wasn't even allowed on film. It would be drawings. People would do drawings, but that's all. So now we've moved to on film, but also capturing that it can levitate. It has control over gravity, that it switches out of a dimension in order to avoid the truck and then comes back again. And this is, you know, breaking down some of the concepts, some of the reluctance, and this was all conscious contact. They had several videos. They had like a dozen witnesses. It was irrefutable. So we can expect more of this on film, you know, and the like, and showing aspects of what it is like to be an alien. He was chosen, the Zeta said, because he could fluoresce, and he became bright blue, and and showed up, and they've got that on film. So what are the prongs? Way last January, because Obama was having so much trouble getting an announcement about Nibiru out, that they tried to kill him. They would, you know, they blocked him on emergency broadcasts, and, you know, that type of thing, 30-second delay. Oh, the poor man is, you know, fallen down and clunked his head, whatever, you know, so that it was just like hopeless to try to get that out, you know, via his ability to speak to the nation, to speak to the world, to say Ronald Reagan wrote executive orders saying don't talk about Nibiru, don't talk about the aliens. I have countered both those executive orders. Nibiru is real. It's heading for a pending passage. And they were getting ready to do that in the summer of 2015 when we had Jade Helm, because they were activated all over the nation. They were ready for panic, right? Well, then he lacked courage, is the way the Zetas put it. So the Council of Worlds stepped in with many people on Earth that are, they call the transformation team, like Anonymous. You know, it's really a bunch of contactees that got picked up and put in front of a computer somewhere. They're complete computer techies. And nobody, they can't figure out who they are because only the guys on spaceships and the Council of Worlds know who they are. So a lot of people, you know, involved, and the Zeta said it's going to be a multi-pronged approach that will be irrefutable, that will have so many parties that if you try to squash over here, it pops up over there. And it started out with the Planet Nine. You know, now remember in 1983, the infrared team looked in the direction of Orion, and they said, we found something, and we're not, then there was a big cover-up. Well, of course, they cited Nibiru coming on in, and according to the Zetas, there is a, our sun has a dark binary, a failed star way out there, and Nibiru is just a planet that passes past, you know, one star and then another, our sun and then that dark binary, which doesn't really have a name. I guess we could call it Nemesis. People used to call it Nemesis. But now they say Planet Nine, there is something out there gravity tugging, right, you know. And then they started to say, wait a minute, the gravity tug is over there by constellation Cetus, but it's slow moving. How could it make that distance? And then there was the implication it was more than one thing, you know, like a binary planet out there and then something moving. And then Lund University in Sweden says, well, maybe there are two suns and this thing is tugging back and forth. In other words, the binary sun concept. And then they had to figure out how to explain, because this whole thing is a game. Of course they know it's there. It came into the solar system. It's sitting next to the sun and creeping toward us. They know that, you know, but they don't want to say, we've lied to you all this time. So this is a way to get around that. So they have to explain how come the Hubble and Kepler and the WISE probes that are mapping the stars missed it, right? An exoplanet that snuck into our solar system, and it's sitting there. And so they said, because they look way out. They look afar. But a little ESO, European Space Agency's observatory in Chile, has found exoplanets that are closer in. And they found several of them in 2010. And so maybe it's close in. And guess what? The ESO's Chile Observatory handles the Dark Energy Survey, which is infrared. And they said, we'll have them check their graphs, you know, going back, their images, going back a few years, and see if they can locate some exoplanets. Well, of course they're going to locate, you know, Nibiru coming in from Orion, you know, as it did in 2003 and trucking over to be close to the sun. You know, and we're there. And then they wanted to talk about, because Nibiru had a retrograde orbit. It starts out having a normal counterclockwise orbit, like our planets and like the sun rotate in that direction. But because it starts skipping rope, as the Zetas say, from the sweeping arms of the sun as it gets close, around the year 2000, it turned and began to have a retrograde orbit. And that was shows up. That's something that the Zetas gave to the world, you know, in 1995, 1997, and when they gave where to look in the sky to see it come in, which people did, and they did find it coming in. So a retrograde, because when the infrared charts show an exoplanet coming in, it has to be reasonable for it to have a retrograde orbit. We found Niku. Niku is a little planetoid that has a trans-Neptune which means it crosses, you know, the Neptune orbit. And it has a retrograde orbit, my. You know, so they are introducing these concepts all the while trying to act like they're groping. They're scratching their heads. They debate with each other. They argue with each other. They say, well, maybe. And we have a cast of thousands practically now. Hawaii, you know, the Chile, and we have observatories all across the United States over there in Tucson. I mean, I think a dozen or two people have been introduced, as we call them, the cast of characters. So we're ready to discover Nibiru. And I'm expecting the Dark Energy Survey to say, oh, we found an exoplanet. It came in 2003, coincidentally, just where the Zetas said it would. Oh, my, what about that? And the Zetas have said one of the plans is to break down the cover-up over the alien presence by having Zetatroc proved right. Well, how did Nancy know that? Well, she says she talks to aliens, but aliens don't exist, right? Well, I don't know. So we're getting rid of two cover-ups at once, and that's what the prongs are.
What are your thoughts on the Clinton crime family, and will they get back into the White House?
Star, are you ready to talk to that?
Oh, boy. This is all, you know, everyone's eating popcorn on Facebook. For everything that's posted, there's someone who's you know, posting immediately, I'm getting my popcorn, because who knows? Right now with Hillary supposedly having pneumonia, I don't know. Are we dealing with – no one asked Zetas this yet. I don't think you answered it, though. Are we dealing with Hillary's double at this point?
Yes.
Fox News and MSNBC – ABC News Channel 7 in New York – aired quickly, it was like 2 seconds, that breaking news, Hillary is dead. I was like, what? So people don't know what's going on. We have two, this is the craziest election ever. And do we know who's going to win? You know, this is all in the hands of man. I'm sure Council of Worlds knows exactly what's going on, you know, in everyone's life, all of the politicians. But they're not going to share that with us. I think Zetas are leaning more towards Trump, because really, no matter who becomes president, it's General Dunsford who's running the country. And that started in September when there was a coup against Obama, you know, because he had lost his courage. He wasn't making the announcement. They recognized that the public hated him for multiple reasons, but I think the public hates every politician when it's at the tail end of their, you know, presidency. So that's nothing new. But I have no idea what's going to happen. Do I want to see Hillary in office? No. Do I want to see Trump in office? No. But everyone has their own take. I'm hoping that General Dunsford is a good guy. Recently I sent him a message on Facebook, you know, saying, I hear you're the guy behind, you know, the machine. And I hope you're a good guy. Maybe we won't even have an election. Zetas had just talked about we're in a very severe wild wobble, and that's why we're having all of this flooding in different places, a tornado in the UK, like out of the blue. Just weird things are happening climate-wise. And who knows? It could be another 30 days, I think, Nancy, because a while ago you said it was 55 days that we had, that the council may allow a severe wobble, which would mean that we talked about this on the Ning. Someone had figured it out that in Germany the flooding would come in the middle of the night, which is terrible. And for the United States, the flooding would come in early morning. But this is not going to be flooding from rain. This is not going to be like a tsunami kind of thing. It's going to be encroaching seawater all the way inland, maybe 50 miles inland, like out of the blue. So, and this is going to take everyone by surprise. So is this going to happen before the election? You know, I don't know. Something is going to stop the election, or Hillary may die. Who knows? She may already be dead. We may be dealing with her double. I don't know that. You know, right.
Let me throw some questions in here. Sorry to interrupt you, Star. So, Nancy, does Hillary have a double?
Yes, she does. And actually, thanks to the people on the Godlike Production Forum who sleuthed this out, the double has a different finger length. It looks very much like Hillary, but Hillary has index, middle, and ring finger that are pretty much the same length. You know, but the double has a middle finger that sticks up a whole notch, you know, in the middle. And when they wave their hand and say hi, you can see this, you know, and it's the mark to look
she's
for.
She's also thinner. She's thinner and she's younger. She doesn't have the wrinkles that Hillary has.
Right.
I've noticed. Sorry to interrupt you again. Sorry, but I noticed this the other day. I was looking. It was at the building I work in, and they have this, like, TV just by the elevators. And I look over, and I'm looking at Hillary, and I'm like, she looks 15 years younger all of a sudden. What happened?
Right.
So
right.
Tell us. I mean, this is very strange. Very strange.
Yeah, and they have the double, you know, where she gets out and runs upstairs or climbs up into the airplane or this and that. I'm sure that that's the double. Because Hillary is so sick, she's got all kinds of illnesses. She's dealing with heart failure. The Zeta said from her entire life she's been angry that what she considers is hers and her rights is not coming to her. And so that rage, you know. And then her family DNA is that her father had a stroke, her mother died of heart failure. And they have clotting problems. She has clotting problems. She's had strokes. She's had blood clots. She also has MS, according to the Zetas, and that's the reason for the Fresnel glasses, the double, you know, the keep. And she's having seizures that catch in the coffee shop. That wasn't deliberate, because when you do slow motion frame by frame and she's coming out of it, one of her eyes looks straight forward and has a normal pupil, and the other eye has a hugely dilated pupil and is the corner of her eye, so she couldn't. She can't track her eyes, you know.
Wow.
And she. There's no question that was a seizure. So and she had another one.
The bobblehead.
The bobblehead, and she had another one on 911 and in New York too. And they gave her a shot, and she was seizing and flailing, you know, when she was at the van. It wasn't that she was fainting. She was seizing.
Did you see the one,
worry about this. Huh?
Did you see the one where she was on stage and she was giving a speech and all of a sudden she just stops talking, her face goes blank, she doesn't know where she is, and all these guys jump on stage and the big black guy says, it's okay, keep talking.
And they have another one where she's like that too. She loses her train of thought utterly. It's called an absent seizure. Some people say it's Parkinson's. Well, she has brain death, because when you have hardening of the arteries, which she has, or you've had a concussion, you can have a post-concussion syndrome. Remember that movie Concussion, and these guys years after, the football players, and they would lose their temper and they couldn't think straight, and you know, and they'd shoot themselves, they'd commit suicide. You know, because the brain keeps dying, and so she's got all kinds of brain death. You can call it if you want strokes or Parkinson's or whatever, but she's got all of that. You know, she's got so much wrong with her, and the Clinton crime family figured this was a setup for this time. She was going to get all the women to vote for her. You know, they're out there doing voter fraud or election fraud, I guess it is, you know, playing with the numbers. There are states out there that still have the diebold election machines, no paper trail, and they can be twittered with. You know, so they stole it from Sanders. When it was a caucus, he got it. When it was counts on machines, Hillary won. You know, so it should have been Sanders. So they are just crooked as can be. But they've got all these enemies, the Council of Worlds, everybody, and this huge group of humans working in different capacities, you know, trying to block this and so it doesn't happen. And her health is failing. You know, they may not be able to drag that racehorse across the finish line, you know, although Weekend at Bernie's is the joke, you know. She's dead, but they've taken her to the White House anyway.
I don't understand why they're pushing that. They could have someone step in, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden.
They wouldn't make it. The crime family wouldn't make it. This is a Bush-Clinton crime family. They've worked together since Arkansas. You know, they're two flip side of a thing. Have you noticed how the Bush family folded right in behind Rumsfeld and all these people, Herbert, and everybody's for Hillary? What? We've never had, you know, all the GOP for the Dem nominee. You know, what's so wrong with Trump? Because he's not part of that crime family, and he's not a criminal, and he won't launder money and start wars for profit and, you know, whatever they've been doing all these years, you know, the Iraq War, et cetera, you know, for oil. So it's got to be her, because Jeb Bush didn't make it. Ted Cruz was snug with Herbert Bush, but he didn't make it. And now Hillary's our remaining leg to run on, and that leg is broken, and she's floundering around. You know, she's not making it over the finish line. So what are the options? The options are, because now apparently her crime family wants, part of her crime family wants her to drop out, because the Clinton Foundation investigations will stop if she does. Dunford made a deal, and he said, "You drop out, and we'll stop the investigation of the foundation." Okay, so all the money laundering and all the connections and all that, so many people, that really it's not just the Clintons, you know, and it's just like vast hundreds of people involved, really. So they want that to happen. So drop out, Hillary. Oh no, she's so ambitious. Okay, so then there are other people who want her to continue, because they are looking for the perks, you know, they're looking for their special jobs and all that kind of thing. So you have her backers, some want her to drop out, and some want her to continue. And meanwhile, the ones that want her to drop out are getting the polls to report the honest reporting, which was that Trump was ahead all along. And just now we're beginning to see that, right? Okay, and then embarrass her, make her, you know, do a strobe in front of her face so that she has another seizure on camera. They won't allow flashbulbs in the media that's around her. It can't be that, because that's what sets her off.
Right.
You know. So, the ones that want her to drop out are going to try to make it so rough for her that she finally says, okay. Well, it's too late. You can't put Biden or Sanders or somebody in, because the ballots are printed. You're dealing with the rules.
What if she were to die? What if she died?
Well, the rule, it would be VP Kaine, because he's on the ballot. And you could have the DNC suddenly have a meeting and say, we're putting somebody else in. But these states all have different rules. And it's not a federal thing. It's counting what the state wants, and you'd have to go to court. You'd have to get the state groups to make. So you're dealing with so much complexity. It's not clean. Basically, if it's not Hillary, it's going to be so splintered that Trump wins, because you're dealing with 50 different states, 50 different set of rules, all this stuff, and they're arguing to Hillary, get out, and she's saying no way, and. And it goes on like that, you know. So now what happens if it looks like they're not going to be able to keep the crime family out of the White House, because the Council of Worlds has decided enough of this farting around. You know, we want a Nibiru to be announced. We want people to have time, you know, to do their spiritual growth and not have somebody, you know, trying to run a worldwide dictatorship. You remember, the American military is as big as every other military in the world combined. It's huge. Mm. You know, so this is what they want. That's the goal. That's the brass ring. You know, so they said, the Zetas said the Council of Worlds would give General Dunford cover and allow him to declare martial law and defer the 2016 elections by causing the New Madrid to act up and having a severe wobble, which was really described in 2010 and 11 by the Zetas, you know, as something that could happen going into the months and years before the pole shift, and basically flopping to the right, flopping to the left, flopping into a brief 3 days of, you know, darkness, flopping forward, etc. And it does cause tides 200 feet high, up to 300 feet if you have tidal bore. And Germany and some of the countries over there, lowlands, Finland, etc., reacted by saying every citizen should have 10 days' supply of food and water.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there's no reason for that except that they take Zeta Talk really seriously.
So how soon do you think this pole shift, how far away is it?
You know, people constantly ask the date, and the date, Jesus said no one should know the date of my return. And the reason for that is that it would be misused by the evildoers, those who want to set up slave camps, those who want to, you know, be opportunists and take advantage of other people. They would use it to their advantage and hurt the little guy, the common man. So the only thing the Zetas have said is this is what the last weeks are like, 7.3 weeks. You know, we have 3 days of darkness, a slowing rotation, the Earth stops rotating, and that goes for 5.9 days, and blah, blah, blah. It's quite clear. So once the last weeks start happening, you know exactly how much time you have before the crustal shift, which happens in a period of an hour. The Zetas have also said the pole shift will happen the end of a magnetic trimester. That's the end of December, the end of April, or the end of August. You know, so you can figure on that. But other than that, and then they said we have the phases 7 of 10, which is plate movements, which was slowed down. But South America is rolling to the west. The Sunda plate has sunk the 80 feet, you know, at the lower part, as the Zetas predicted. Africa is starting its roll now. You know, you see quakes all around the plate border. But and the New Madrid will, you know, rip open and be a real mess for the United States. So we got a ways to go on the 7 to 10. Then the 8 of 10 is overlapping, and that's sociological changes, which we're already seeing with all the migrating, you know, and barter system and people revolting and, you know, saying they're not going to have it anymore, whatever. So we have also increased visibility of Nibiru, which is happening. People see it naked eye. People, you know, they look up and they say, and they take a picture with their cell phone and they're catching it, or they just see it naked eye. And it used to be, unless we caught a second sun or used a lot of filters that allowed the red spectrum light to come through, you didn't get it. You know, so increased visibility is with us, but we could get a lot more of that. So we got a ways to go, but I keep getting told, don't tell people they have a lot of time. Tell people they better have their chickens and goats, and Star has goats, and I've had chickens, and I'm telling you, get them. Get used to gardening. Grow amaranth, you know. Grow some of these high-lysine vegetables. Learn how to save seed. You do not have time to goof around.
Yeah.
Tell us more about General Dunsford and how he came to power.
Well, I actually heard his name mentioned from Ben Fulford, who has puts out a newsletter every week. And he is highly accurate and correct, but he also he's not 100%. He's not like Zeta Talk.
I'm still working on him.
Yeah. but he's been right about so many things, you know. And he kept seeing General Dunford, and General Dunford is now in charge. And other people out and about on the internet were echoing this kind of, you know, we heard that General Dunford was now, and he's the chief, you know, there. He's not just a general, but he's the DOD top guy. And you know, what the Zeta said is he and Obama did not want it publicly announced that it was a coup. because people would be upset and it would cause all kinds of problems. Can you imagine? Every federal prosecutor that has a case in court, it would be challenged. Yeah, well, you can't do that because we're not under normal civil rule. We're under military rule, right? So every criminal case gets tossed out. I mean, what? How do you handle the chaos? So they said, let's not tell anybody. You know, Obama and Dunford. Let's just. But, you know, when Obama goes down and does the tango in Argentina, and Dunford pays attention, and he allowed Putin to get into the Middle East, which was the right thing to do. Putin's a sweetheart. Yep. You know, we demonize him like crazy in the West, but he's doing all the right things. You know, ISIS had to be stopped. You know, this whole business of, you know, flow it into Europe and destabilize Europe, and there was some evil plans going on, you know. So ISIS had to be stopped, and really Putin is basically almost single-handedly doing that. He's got the right allies, you know. And Dunford stepped back and said, yep, we'll give you air power and go for it. And this is not something that Obama was doing. Obama said, yes, but we're partners with Saudi Arabia, who were, you know, part of the 9-1-1, you know, plot, Bush and Cheney, et cetera, in the Bush administration. Saudi Arabia is not a good guy. Yeah, but we have treaties with them. We have treaties with Israel. Well, Israel is not a good guy, you know. And on like that, we're supposed to be getting rid of Assad in Syria, you know, and we're giving guns to his rebels who then become ISIS and have our guns. And so Obama was so tied up, tangled up in his underwear with all these treaties that he couldn't, and Dunford just went over there and met with Putin and boom, boom, bitty, boom, and we got it right. So that's where we're at, you know, and I'm sure he's under protection. Nobody could shoot him, you know.
I think so, too. I think Ben Fulford is also. I learned a couple of things about Ben, that he is from Canada, but he is a Spanish-speaking man from Canada who lives in Japan. And he mentioned something. I listened to one of his interviews with someone else, and he's really a good guy, you know, very animated. I really enjoyed listening to that. But he said that he was poo-pooing the radiation in Japan. He said there is no radiation in Japan. He carries around a Geiger counter. And I was, like, furious as soon as he said that. But then I realized, oh, my, he's probably protected himself. So, of course, you know, he's walking around in a bubble that he's unaware of. And I'm trying so hard now to get him to look at, because he will bring up UFO disclosure. He will talk about those things, but very, very lightly. So I'm trying to get him to see that we're working for the same team. We're working together. He's trying to take down the banking cartel, you know, the Rothschilds, and close down the banks, and let's arrest George Soros, and he's on it, you know. And I love that. But he has to recognize, too, that we have something really huge, you know, waiting in the curtains coming at us.
Yeah.
So, little by little, he lets me post things from Zeta Talk. Mostly I post the newsletters every week, but I go on and on and on. You know, I'll post like 7 different links, and he lets it stay on his page, which I'm happy. He doesn't comment, but he lets it stay there, so he gets it. Now, let's talk about Hillary for a second. Remember when Hillary said, oh, if I'm elected president, I'm going to make sure that I let everyone know what went on at Roswell. I am going to bring, you know, I'm going to find everything we can know about UFOs and tell the public. Now, just recently, someone said, I forgot who it was, but they said that Obama is going to be the disclosure president before he leaves office just to give her the screw.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear that?
Actually, no, and I find this fascinating. And I have noticed, too, that Fulford, he'll talk about finances and who's allying with who, you know, the secret alliances and the like, and he's accurate there. Like, he came out with saying that the Federal Reserve had been taken over, meaning that the Jewish, you know, Israel and the Jewish bankers, half of the federal districts were under their control. The other half were under U.S. government control. All of a sudden, it was all under U.S. government control. Not even an announcement. nothing. But, you know, Ben Fulford said, check, you know, if you go to the .org, it's down. And you go to .usgov or whatever, it's up. You know, and he called it. So he's just been accurate about so many things. Now, he will not talk about Nibiru. He will not talk about a pending pole shift.
Yeah.
I caught him once saying something about global warming, which, and he said, as we all know, that's not the cause, but nothing more than that. So I think it's not that he doesn't know. He's just decided his area.
That's not his forte. Yeah. His area is
right.
Economics.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, we're a motley crew, Star, you know. Yeah. Man, everybody
I'm trying to get
piece.
Everyone to work together. You know, even the ufology community. I try desperately, the friends that I have that are used to seeing my posts, whatever, you know, why can't we work on the same page? But everyone has their own little thing.
Yes.
Sooner or later, it's, you know, we're all going to be working together and it's going to be an obvious thing.
Yeah.
But getting there is just very frustrating. Drip, drip, drip.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here, guys. Star, you may want to turn down just a tad. We're getting some echo. I assume it's
volume. Oh, I'm on the phone.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm on the phone.
I don't know where our echo is coming. Yeah, are you listening to the radio at the same time?
No, I'm not on. No, let me close out of Skype because maybe it's getting a kickback from Skype. I closed out of Skype. Nope, I still hear the echo.
Oh.
Someone's listening to us, that's all.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
normal.
Be.
General Dunsford, if General Dunsford is in control, I've heard rumors that Obama's just watching SportsCenter about 8 hours a day. Is this true?
Yeah. Well, he went dancing and tangoing in Argentina, you know, when the Middle East was blowing up. And, you know, so I think... yeah, and he seems very concerned. He's got a touchy ego. Oh, my legacy. You know, he gets out there campaigning for Hillary, and all he talks about is himself. That's what I've heard, you know. So, and nobody, I'm sure that there are many, many people who know these things, but they don't talk. You know, they don't say anything. In the first place, it would be denied, and then they'd look like a fool, right? You know, so... just look at what goes on with Hillary. Is a good person, and she's fine, and she doesn't have any health problems. And the media is lying like crazy. CNN is talking about the double that walked out of the hotel, different pair of sunglasses, different purse, lost 50 pounds, 15 years younger, and the fingers of different lengths, and that's Hillary. And I mean, they know it's not. So why are they saying it was? You know, it floors me. I did a newsletter recently and called it 1984, Ministry of Truth, remember?
Yeah.
Doublespeak. You know, white is black and black is white, that type of thing. And Big Brother is watching. You know, so and poor Seth Rich, the DNC person who got shot to death in Washington, D.C., 27 years old. He knew something about what was going on, how they stole the election from Sanders.
Oh, and so many people are dead under Hillary watch.
That's right. That's right.
But,
that's
of
right.
course, we can never prove that.
Right. And she, that's right. Yep.
Hillary. We call her Hillary.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So whether, you know, she makes it through, which I doubt, or Trump becomes our president and gets along with Dunford just fine because he would, you know, or there's terrible geo changes like a lot of sloshing and flooding and the New Madrid rips open and the 2016 elections are delayed, which would mean Obama would be our figurehead for on into the future. You know, we don't know.
I'm glad that you said something about Hillary's double because I was thinking that the other day. I don't know how she suddenly looks different after a day.
She's not dead.
And Bill said she had the flu. Oh, she doesn't have pneumonia. She just has the flu. So it's like everybody needs to get on the same page, you know?
Yeah. She was in... you know, 3 days later, was it, I think, Wednesday, and she came out, and spoke, etc. South Carolina, I think it was. And I was watching, but the hand wave, it was the real Hillary. But they're using green screens, which means that they film it one place, and then when she goes on the stage, that's not what gets rolled out to the on the TV. And they do what they've pre-recorded. The backdrop is different, you know, and you can see that if you collect enough photos and the like. So they do that in case she has a seizure or something. The TV public will not see this. The podium is up higher.
I noticed that. Like it's just showing, you know, her upper chest and her shoulders and head.
Yes, yes.
This is something new.
That was
new,
the pre-recording.
You know.
That's right. That's the pre-recording, and it may very well be that the person who was actually in the auditorium was a double, because that's not rolling out. And I noticed, I watched, and they were panning the audience, and the audience was looking confused. You know, they weren't enthused or excited. They just looked puzzled. And I thought, why are they puzzled? I think that they see that. But then, you know, who's going to believe them? The media is controlled. Well, I don't think that was Hillary up there. Oh, you're just nuts. The heat of the day got to you. You know, this kind of thing. So
it's definitely popcorn worthy.
Yes, yes. But it appears,
you know,
she's on the downward slide. She's being taken down. That's what it looks like the last week and a half.
I've never seen the media lie so blatantly like this.
Yeah.
There is not even
sure you
an
have.
Attempt.
Never
started this
September
bad.
11th, you know.
Yeah.
Well, never like
that's
this because now they don't even include any truth in the lie. They'll just blatantly. I've never seen it like this. I mean, at least my opinion.
Well, look at JFK. You know, oh. It was Oswald, and there was this single bullet that went in here and went through several bodies and broke bones and came out completely intact, you know. And the terrorist's passport fell from the plane,
yeah.
Even though the plane hit the building and the whole building blew up, but somehow the passport came through intact and was found on the sidewalk, you know. I mean, those were blatant lies, you know. And we're still being told that 911 was. Wasn't an inside job. Neil Bush in charge of security, you know. Dick Cheney down in the basement coordinating the whole thing, and there was an exercise, and people were, you know, they were told stand down because this is just an exercise, and when it was really happening, that's why the planes weren't mustered, you know, to shoot down those planes that were aiming for the Twin Towers and all the nuclear explosions that collapsed and imploded those buildings. Neil Bush had that installed, you know, in the days ahead. So we're still being lied about that, JFK
yeah.
and the 911.
The political
so,
world
yes,
is,
it has
is
happened
despicable.
Before. Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem with having a big military that is the plum. You know, you get too rich, you have too much of that. Everybody wants to grab a hold of you and control you. And the United States, that's what happened. It became too much of a prize because of our military.
Are we going to see green meteors as we get closer to this pole shift?
Well, I think we already are. I know that in Zeta Talk there was some explanation about green meteors, and that's not space junk either. We're getting an awful lot of trash that when Nibiru goes through on its trucks along from one of its binary suns to the next, it picks all this up. It's a heavy magnet. It's 23 times the mass of the Earth, you know, 4 to 5 times the diameter, and it's a very heavy magnet. So it's shrouded in this iron oxide dust. It collects all kinds of trash, and that's why, you know, we're getting stuff that has some form of life in it that drops. You know, the red rain in Kerala, India, and it has a cell body, and people say, oh, that's a cell form, and you know, that's a pre-life start, and where did that come? Well, because a lot of those planets in the asteroid belt were life-bearing. And why do you think we have all those asteroids up there? Something went through and bashed them to pieces. So there's a lot of stuff in the trash. We'll have a lot more debris coming down. And just remember, there is a police force. Look what happened to Facebook in Africa. you know, where it was sending up, it was trying to have an internet gateway that was controlled through a satellite and a drone system. And with Israel, they were putting up this satellite that was going to totally control Africa. And as Zeta said, all the migrants from a flooded Europe and all the migrants from a flooded India would come into Africa, set up survival camps, and they would control, because they would be able to know who was thinking, who was, you know, what they were thinking and writing and putting down an email and whatever. And so they would know the periphery of these survival camps, who was the leader, what their defenses were. And it was a control system, a slave camp. They were going to, the Jews, Facebook, Zuckerberg, and Israel, you know, Bibi, Netanyahu, were going to make Africa their big slave camp. Boom! It blew up. They couldn't even get it launched. And Israel tried to send up another satellite. The last one blew up in 2014. Boom! So that's the Council of Worlds.
Israel sent up another satellite on the hush-hush. They didn't tell anybody until it was already up in the air.
Yeah.
It stopped working immediately. That was like three days after the SpaceX exploded. So they tried to be sneaky about it, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You don't fool the Council of Worlds.
No, you don't.
Yes, and they actually, when the Facebook thing blew up, you could see the little UFOs around it that zipped in, and just when it went boom.
And even
no
SpaceX,
question.
Even Elon Musk is saying, you know, we're not discounting that, because he's asking the public to help him. You know, why, I guess they lost so much money. You know, why, what happened? You know, can the public tell me? Well, the public is now telling him, look, it was a UFO. We have footage of it.
Yep.
So it's exciting. We live in exciting times.
Yes, and we're not sitting back with the bad guys able to do whatever they want. This is not 911 or JFK assassination.
No, the people
anymore.
Are taking back their lives.
Yeah, and we got the good old Council of Worlds stepping in.
Well, Nancy, I appreciate you coming back on the show, and Star, it's always great hearing from you. I'm going to let both of you kind of finish the show with any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with the audience. Go ahead, Nancy.
Get chickens and goats and start gardening. And remember, this is a spiritual schoolhouse. It's how much you care for other people, how much you're willing to be a hero, sacrifice your well-being for others that really matters. And love lasts. Material things do not. So check ZetaTalk.com for new updates. Over to you, Star.
I'm going to say the same thing. It's all about taking care of each other, taking care of your community members, helping them pick up the pieces. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the planet. It's going to be wonderful things in the aftertime after we, you know, get rid of, or the garbage itself gets rid of itself. The meek shall inherit the earth. And there's still going to be music and art and, you know, dancing, and there's just so many good things to look forward to. Yeah, it's going to hurt, you know, but we come out smelling like a rose.
Yep. And it's also exciting and fun, don't forget.
It is.
School will be out. You don't have to punch the clock at work. You can be resourceful and creative, and it's going to be exciting and adventurous. That's it.
All right, Nancy. It's great talking to you again, and Star, it's always good chatting with you. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics, and I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We'll catch you next time, folks. Have a great evening.